Welcome to this Saturday, November the 4th. It's day 308 in our journey through the Bible. Hello to everyone out there. My name is Hunter, and this is the Daily Radio Bible, and we are about to do what we do every day. We're about to spend some time in God's Word. We're going to let God's Word spend some time on us. You know how we need that? No doubt about that. And today we are once again in this amazing story of Job, chapters 26 and 27. Then we finish our reading in Mark's Gospel. In fact, we finish the whole Gospel. Mark chapters 15 and 16. How about that, my friend? We've read two Gospels here in the last 20 days or so. Well, let's jump right in. Job chapter 26. We're reading through the New Living Translation. Job's ninth speech, a response to Bildad. Then Job spoke again. How you have helped the powerless, how you have saved the weak, how you have enlightened my stupidity, what wise advice you have offered. Where have you gotten all these wise sayings? Whose spirit speaks through you? The dead tremble. Those who live beneath the waters, the underworld is naked. In God's presence, the place of destruction is uncovered. God stretches the northern sky over empty space and hangs the earth on nothing. He wraps the rain in his thick clouds, and the clouds don't burst with the weight. He covers the face of the moon, shrouding it with his clouds. He created the horizon when he separated the waters. He set the boundary between day and night. The foundations of heaven tremble. They shudder at his rebuke. By his power, the sea grew calm. By his skill, he crushed the great sea monster. His spirit made the heavens beautiful, and his power pierced the gliding serpent. These are just the beginning of all that he does, merely a whisper of his power. Who then can comprehend the thunder of his power? Job 27. Job continued speaking. I vow by the living God who has taken away my rights, by the Almighty who has embittered my soul, as long as I live, while I have breath from God, my lips will speak no evil and my tongue will speak no lies. I will never concede that you are right. I will defend my integrity until I die. I will maintain my innocence without wavering. My conscience is clear as long as I live. May my enemy be punished with the wicked, my adversary like those who do evil. For what hope do the godless have when God cuts them off and takes away their life? Will God listen to their cry when trouble comes upon them? Can they take delight in the Almighty? Can they call to God at any time? I will teach you about God's power. I will not conceal anything concerning the Almighty. But you have seen all this, yet you say all these useless things to me. This is what the wicked will receive from God. This is their inheritance from the Almighty. They may have many children, but the children will die in war or starve to death. Those who survive will die of a plague, and not even their widows will mourn for them. Evil people may have piles of money and may store away mounds of clothing, but the righteous will wear that clothing, and the innocent will divide that money. The wicked build houses as fragile as a spider's web, as flimsy as a shelter made of branches. The wicked go to bed rich, but wake to find that all their wealth is gone. Terror overwhelms them like a flood, and they're blown away in the storms of night. The east wind carries them away, and they are gone. It sweeps them away. It whirls down on them without mercy. They struggle to flee from its power, but everyone jeers at them and mocks them. Mark chapter 15. Jesus' trial before Pilate. Very early in the morning, the leading priests, the elders, and the teachers of religious law, the entire high council, met to discuss their next step. They bound Jesus, led him away, and took him to Pilate, the Roman governor. Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "You have said it." Then the leading priest kept accusing him of many crimes, and Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer them? What about these charges they are bringing against you?" But Jesus said nothing, much to Pilate's surprise. Now it was the governor's custom each year during the Passover celebration to release one prisoner, anyone the people requested. One of the prisoners at that time was Barabbas, a revolutionary who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd went to Pilate and asked him to release a prisoner as usual. Would you like me to release to you this king of the Jews? Pilate asked, for he realized by now that the leading priest had arrested Jesus out of envy. But at this point, the leading priest stirred up the crowd to demand the release of Barabbas instead of Jesus. Pilate asked them, then what should I do with this man you call the king of the Jews? They shouted back, crucify him! Why, Pilate demanded, what crime has he committed? But the mob roared even louder, crucify him. So to pacify the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He ordered Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip, then turned him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified. The soldiers took Jesus into the courtyard of the governor's headquarters, called the Praetorium, and called out the entire regiment. They dressed him in a purple robe, and they wove thorn branches into a crown and put it on his head. Then they saluted him and taunted him, Hail, King of the Jews! And they struck him on the head with a reed stick, spit on him, and dropped to their knees in mock worship. When they were finally tired of mocking him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him again. Then they led him away to be crucified. A passerby named Simon, who was from Cyrene, was coming in from the countryside just then, and the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. Simon was the father of Alexander and Rufus, and they brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. They offered him wine drugged with myrrh, but he refused it. Then the soldiers nailed him to the cross. They divided his clothes and threw dice to decide who would get each piece. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. A sign announced the charges against him. It read, The King of the Jews. Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. The people passing by shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. Ha! Look at you now, they yelled at him. You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Well then, save yourself and come down from the cross. The leading priests and teachers of religious law also mocked Jesus. He saved others, they scoffed. But he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down from the cross so we can see it and believe him. Even the men who were crucified with Jesus ridiculed him. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. Then at 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you abandoned me? Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling the prophet Elijah. One of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, holding it up to him on a reed stick so he could drink. Wait, he said, let's see whether Elijah comes to take him down. Then Jesus uttered another loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When the Roman officer who stood facing him saw how he had died, he exclaimed, This man truly was the Son of God. Some women were there watching from a distance, including Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Younger and Joseph and Salome. They had been following Jesus and had cared for him while he was in Galilee. Many other women who had come with him to Jerusalem were also there. This all happened on Friday, the day of preparation, the day before the Sabbath. As evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea took a risk and went to Pilate to ask for Jesus' body. Joseph was an honored member of the high council, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God to come. Pilate couldn't believe that Jesus had already died. The officer confirmed that Jesus was dead, so Pilate told Joseph he could have the body. Joseph bought a long sheet of linen cloth, then he took Jesus' body down from the cross, wrapped it in the cloth, and laid it in a tomb that had been carved out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone in front of the entrance. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where Jesus' body was laid. Mark chapter 16. Saturday evening, when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, went out and purchased burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. On the way, they were asking each other, Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb? But as they arrived, they looked up and saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side. The women were shocked, but the angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now go tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you before he died." The women fled from the tomb, trembling and bewildered, and they said nothing to anyone because they were too frightened. May the one who is risen, may our Lord, give his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. A prisoner exchange. "I'll release to you Barabbas," is what Pilate said, "in exchange for this king of the Jews." This is what they wanted. This was the deal that was struck. A revolutionary for a king. Unbeknownst to Pilate, the deal wasn't struck with him. It was struck long before in the heart of God. God would offer his son, the king, in exchange for a revolutionary, Barabbas. Barabbas isn't the first one to rise up in revolt, no. No, the first revolutionary rose up against God and his kingdom. And that, of course, is Adam. Barabbas is a son of Adam, the first to rise up, the first to revolt. And when he did that, death and murder entered the world. Since that first uprising, the uprisings have never stopped, nor has the murder and the death and the suffering and the pain. But Mark gives us an answer to the uprising. Someone far greater than another son of Adam. Mark gives us one last glimpse of the Son of God, the King of the Jews, who has come to offer himself on a cross as a substitute for Barabbas and Adam and you and me and all of us who've rebelled against God and his kingdom. This king who substitutes his life for you and me is going to make a way for all the rebels to go free, just like Barabbas, and to live a life free from the power of sin and the grave. It's a prisoner exchange. Barabbas, the son of Adam, is going to go free. In his place will be the one they call the King of the Jews. Mark wants you to see him as the substitute, the one given in exchange for the rebels, for you and for me, the one who sets us free, the one who puts an end to the rebellion and leads us into life beyond the grave. The prayer of my own heart today is that I will see him as the one who's paid it all for me, Barabbas, the son of Adam, a rebel set free. And that I'll live in this freedom that he's given me. I'll live with gratitude and with the strength of the one who truly is the Son of God. That's the prayer that I have for my own soul today. That's the prayer that I have for my family, for my wife, my daughters, my son. And that's the prayer that I have for you. May it be so. Well, it's always great to hear from you. Always great to find out a little bit about you, who you are, where you're from, how you stumbled upon this podcast. Next time you got a moment, take it and let a brother know. Hey, I'd like to let you know that I'm back here in New Jersey this weekend, and I would love to have you out to visit us at Zarephath Christian Church. You can check out information on our services at zarephath.org. If you stop in, make sure you stop me and say hi. Let me know that you've been listening to the Daily Radio Bible. Well, hey, I'm going to get out the door here. I had the pleasant surprise of seeing my daughter that I hadn't seen in 4 months today. I want to go and spend a little time with her. And I'm glad that we've been able to spend a little time today. I really am honored to share this time with you. I can't believe I get to do it. Well, my friends, we've done it again. We've spent another day in the Bible, and I plan on being back here again tomorrow to do the same thing. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I fully intend to be here. Until that time, let's go forward. Let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let His joy be our strength. And let's remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about it. All righty, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You guys take care. Bye-bye.